start out telling you my title this morning. It's called Trust in the Lord. I know that's a basic, you know, title, but I'm going to have to tell you something. It's a basic title with a huge meaning. Can somebody say amen? I want to start out this morning by saying, and I want you to hear this, that God has a strategy for our life. Do you know that? He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. You know, God just doesn't just show up and not have a strategy for us. He's already mapped it out before the foundation of the world, and that's what I'm so excited about. But I have to tell you, the devil wants to defeat us in our mind, and my message is not on the mind today, which is probably my favorite topic, by the way. But he wants to fill our mind with doubt and unbelief when it comes to God and his plan for us. So I'm going to be straight to you this morning. Say straight. Don't you like it when somebody's just a straight shooter? You know, I duck sometime, and, you know, sometimes I get kissed, and sometimes I get hit with a tomato, but that's okay. But I am going to tell you something. I'm going to be a straight shooter with you today. Trusting God is never for comfort seekers. If you're a comfort seeker, meaning ease, if you're at ease and at rest in where you're at and where you need to be, and maybe what you're believing God for today, let me tell you something. That's not going to happen for you. If you're going to trust God, you're going to have to be a warrior in your heart, amen? You're going to have to stand and believe God at all the cost. Trusting God means we have to pass some tests. Remember in school, we just hated testing, especially those surprise ones, but we're going to have to pass the test. And the good news is with God's word, we don't have to be surprised, only if we're not in the word of God. But if we're in the word of God, listen, it's not a hard thing. Trusting God always outweighs every single time anything that we could ever face. I like to say it like this, and I used to say this a lot in my services, is we're like a salmon fish, except at the end of the day, it's going to be good. You know, salmon fish, the end of the day, it's not so hot for them. But we're like a salmon fish. You know, we're swimming towards our goal. And that's what we need to be because we're in the boat already. So we may as well continue to pass the test. So the truth is, this morning, God can blow our minds if we just trust him. And I know something this morning. When we put our faith and trust in God, I'm going to tell you something. He comes through for us. He will surprise us. Have you ever, you know, I'm thinking when Paul was in prison, even though they prayed, even though they believed, they knew it, it came as a surprise, didn't it? When the prison door opens. But faith opens those prison doors. Faith this morning, when we trust God, begins to open things in the spiritual realm that we are going to walk in a surprise, like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened. But yet we knew in our knower that it was going to happen, but somehow it takes us a surprise when it becomes us. You know, we hear the victory praise this morning about Brother Jack. Amen. Woohoo! But you know what? If we were standing in his place, don't tell me it wouldn't be a surprise when the victory actually happened. Surprises happen when we trust in God even. So family, we got to trust God in every phase of our life. You know, and trust him that, listen, when we trust him, everything's going to fall into place. We don't always see it at the time. We may have to keep going back to the drawing board in the word of God and proclaim the victory that we have through his promises, amen. But nonetheless, listen to me, God's word will come through for us. I love this scripture in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, now watch, you're going to see a lot of meat in this scripture. Trust in the Lord. That's a big promise right there. Trust in the Lord. With what? With all our heart. And what? Say it loud. Lean not on your own understanding. Boy, you guys are right there. In all of your ways, submit or acknowledge him. And what's he going to do? Say it loud. He's going to make our path straight. Somebody forgot the end of that verse. But when we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, and we lean not to our own belief patterns, something great happens. The path is going to be made straight. And I love that. God has a strategy, like I said, but he has a specific course of life just for you and me. Don't you like it when there's specifics that come to us? I know I do. It's a specific thing. And I know this morning, some of you, I just, you know, even when I put lessons together, sometimes I discern things, are at a place in your life right now that there's frustration. You're in a frustration season of your life. But I'm going to tell you something. If God be for you, who can be against you? I'm going to tell you, let the frustrations go, because God is making your path straight. Trusting God makes us believe that God is going to have an open door for us. I found an amazing scripture, and it's in Revelations 3, 7, and 8, and listen to it. This is where God declares, he who has the key of David, he is the one who opens the door that no man can open and shuts the door that no man can shut. Listen to me, in the strategy of life, in the strategy of the purpose and plan of God for our life, it is, watch, it's a spiritual key that God is opening and unlocking the doors for us. It's really, that key is not just a natural key, it's really in the spiritual realm a prophetic key before the foundation of the earth. It's a key, listen, it's so special, this key. And that's the strategy this morning that God has for us. In our frustrations today, when your timing seems to be not the timing of the Lord, hear my heart. God has a prophetic key just for you and just for me today. So you can rest assured, if you trust in the Lord today with all of your heart and lean not to your own belief system, God is going to make that way straight. Because sometimes there's a crooked path that we have to follow. There's sometimes God allows certain things in our life that we takes us down a road, a detour, if you will, for purpose and plan in our life. It's not always a straight shoot. God didn't design us that way, you know. But trusting God makes us understand that, you know, that, and I know some of you need to hear that today. You need to get a spiritual mind and not walk in the carnal. Because I know that some here today are facing dead-end situations. Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe it's in your finances. You know, the Lord, there's so many things that we go through, amen, insecurities and fears and hopelessness, and the list just goes on and on and on, because that's who we are. We don't have holes in our hand today. We are human beings that go through a lot of scenarios in our walk, in our journey with God. But the good news is this, and I love it, that God says that the afflictions of the righteous are many, but God delivers us from them all. But, you know, that just don't happen. We just can't sit back and say, oh, it's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? When David was called out of the field, you know, little did he know what his journey was going to be. It just didn't happen. He had to get up and do something. Amen? When something's in our life and God is shifting us and propelling us and doing things in our life to go beyond where we're at, when that shifting takes place, that is action. Say action. And we've got to take action and apply our trust and our faith, because they're married together. Trust and faith are married together, and we don't want to divorce them. Amen? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is such a powerful, powerful scripture for all of us today, because it says so much as we walk with the Lord. Amen? It teaches us faithfulness. Say faithfulness. That he's going to do exactly what he said to do. If what? If we believe and trust him. That's the truth. Everyone in this room today wants change, but we want good change. We want change in our life, but we don't want to keep walking and marching in the same place. Good change takes, like I said, it takes action. We've got to put action in it. My question to us today is this. We know that God wants to get us from A to B. I won't even say Z. God wants to get us from A to B. And if we know it takes action, how many in this room would say, I know I want that. I want the good of the land. I want the milk and honey of the land to come my way. I want the prosperity. And I'm not just talking about finances. I want the milk and honey, you know, the anointing. I want all that God has for me. But now hear this. Yeah, that takes faith. But faith, listen, is equaled to what? Process. There's a process. So I want to ask you today, do you really want to go through the process to get where you're going? Because you cannot skip over the process. We see other people with their victories, but we really don't see what they've went through to get to the process to happen. So, you know, we don't see in the midnight hour where someone else is to get their victory. But I can tell you this, if you're on a different level, it's because you've actually went through the process to get there, right? And process means this, I wrote it down, action, undertaking, duty, task. Are we willing to do that? Are we going to be the Davids of the world to say when we're called out and we're supposed to do something and we're supposed to fight the giant in our life to get to the next place where God has us? Are we willing to be in a position to say, I'm willing to do the process? Process is never easy. It reminds me of a woman that gets pregnant. And the process actually just means that you're believing and seeing and taking notice of what is going on until the end of the goal. So here's what happens with a pregnant woman. She conceives. She is definitely in the process of giving birth to a child. So she goes to the doctor and she takes vitamins and she takes great care of herself in eating and the vitamins. She's always taking notice. Well, the process in life, in the spiritual life, is the same exact thing. We've got to take notice and focus on what is going on in our life. Too many times we're not focusing on what we need to get the faith. We have the faith, but we're not willing to go through the process. Somebody say amen. I know I'm speaking to you today. And you know what? There's a wrong way, listen to me, to get through the process. And the wrong way, ultimately, every time, I'm going to tell you something, makes us miserable. There's a right process and there's a wrong process. Hey, I've suffered in both. I've went through the process the wrong way, and all it did was keep me spinning my wheels, keep me frustrated, keep me bound up, keep me from where I really needed to be. But the process takes patience. We don't like that word patience today, do we? We don't. The Bible says, let patience have her perfect work. But we think patience is a cuss word. I know I do. Ooh, the P word. I don't want the P word. I want to get right to the process and go through it. I don't want that P word in my life. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit, which none of us like. But patience is a process. And that's what we did. And what is a process? It means those that wait upon the Lord. That's the process. That's what we have to be willing to do. There's things in our life that, I tell you what, we can believe God for something and it happens immediately. You've had those faith things that happen. Wow! It just happened. But most of the time, patience is a process. We got to wait upon the Lord. So, again, how desperately are you waiting in your process for the victory to come? Now watch. This is good. I wrote this down. What we do in the middle between faith and victory, watch, determines how bad we want it. You see, there's a middle. So it's between what? It's between faith and our victory. So how bad do we want it? Because, listen, you cannot skip. You know, they say there's gray areas in life. There is no gray areas, I'm telling you, between faith and victory. It's a process. I'm just going to tell you a quick testimony. When my son was 15 years old, he decided he didn't want to follow hard after God anymore. He had been I won't go into my story, but such a soul winner. Even since he was 7, he gave his heart to Christ, and he really, really knew it. And I'm so thankful that when he decided that he didn't want to serve God in the capacity which our home, what he was used to in our home, which he didn't get away with a whole lot even then, amen. But at 15 years old, I was very, very troubled about that. And I realized, at that point, as a mom, that was very, and as a father, it really is a painful situation when you see your child go from so much strength in God and the power of God to not wanting God. But it was a burden. But to make a long story short, at that time, God began to speak to my heart, like he does to us parents, amen? And he spoke to my heart, and here's what he said to me. He says, I want you to have patience. And there's that cuss word again, He said, I want you to have patience. And then he said to me, I don't want you to worry. Now, when you hear that, you think, well, that's easier said than done. Well, that's coming from God, amen. But he told me that my process was praise. If you can just praise me, I will push you through that knothole of unbelief. I will push you through that knothole of fear. I will push you through that knothole of worry. And I needed to be pushed, right? He told me to praise him during the process. So there's things that God will speak to you. What do you need to be pushed through your knothole, your spiritual knothole? Mine was praise, and I think most is praise. But he says, you know, and I had to learn at that time, listen to me, I had to learn to begin, and I was a praiser, to worship God like I had never worshiped before. Amen. I pursued God, if you will, in the most unnatural pursuit, in prayer. I mean, I did warfare through praise. I did, because praise is warfare. It's not always binding the devil. But I can remember just praising God in that pursuit in the spiritual realm for my son to come back. And you know what? I think what happens, you know why we don't want to fight the good fight of faith? I believe, this is just my own perception, that we become so casual in our relationship with God. It's like a married life. After so many years, things just become casual. It's not the same as the honeymoon. And I believe in the spiritual realm, we need to get back to the honeymoon state in a relationship with our Heavenly Father and with the Holy Spirit that we sing about. Casual relationship with Jesus does not equal process nor equal victory. We've got to get back and take ownership of who we are in Christ, that we're the redeemed, we're the set free. There, we walk in victory, we walk in power. The greater one lives on the inside of us today. There's nothing that we can't do. There's nothing that faces us today. There's no giant that we will be afraid to cut a head off. But the process to get there is a whole nother thing, you know? We cannot forget, listen to me, that we're not going to take Jesus for granted, amen? I want you to really hear that, okay? If you take him for granted, you can't trust him. You'll go back to leaning on your own understanding. Because if you don't see, okay, I'll just use this as, if you were all in a leadership program and I was teaching other pastors and I'd be training them to how sheep view a pastor, just an analogy, okay? A pastor, when people first come in and they see their pastor, the familiarity is really out the door. What he says is, thus saith the Lord, if it lines up with the word of God, amen? But after a season of time, it begins to go in one ear and out the other. And we need a lot of times a new voice to come into our life to that we could actually hear it. Well, that's one thing in the natural realm. But in the spiritual realm, we cannot let a familiarity block out that still small voice that God has for us. You see, God is not going to come, you know, when he said he was not in the storms and he was not in the quake of the mountain in the Old Testament. The Bible said he came in a still small voice. We miss him in the still small voice when we continue to see him in familiarity. Well, he's just Jesus. Are we any different than what happened when they said, well, he's just Jesus in the town? He's just Joseph's son. That's all he is. That's the familiarity that Satan puts in our spirit when we view God after a length of time. We don't trust him. We don't lean upon God. We lean upon our own familiarity of how we can do it. Somebody better say amen. But the Lord is asking us today, will you continue to knock? Will you continue to seek? Will you continue to press through? Because that's what he's looking for. He wants us to knock on that door until we get the answer. He wants us to keep asking and knocking. Well, that don't line up with scripture, some will say. I'm telling you, God says to knock. When that woman knocked on the door and pounded, the king got so frustrated, not that God is, got so frustrated with her, he answered the door. And he gave her what she wanted. So in our pursuit, that is an unnatural spiritual thing that we have to do in pursuit. We've got to go from the unnatural to the spiritual realm. Amen? Can you say amen? You know, we want it now, the generations is saying. We want it now. Everything is now. But God says, those that wait upon the Lord. You know, he wants us to keep asking. And I'll tell you something. When we knock and ask and seek, you know what happens? Our passions begin to rise on the inside of us. There's something about knocking. There's something about seeing the goal at the end of the road. Oh, my God, I'm going to meet that goal. The passion of God stirs up on the inside of us that we can't contain it. It's like it's fire, like the Bible says, fire shut up in our bones. When we really see at the end of the course our victory. And we got to keep our eyes like the dove. Amen. We got to keep our passions high and our unbelief and doubts low. We got to believe God. And he reassured me that he was in the process when I was believing God for my son. He was in the process. And you know what? I have to tell you something. I didn't worry after that. If he got home 10 minutes late, I didn't worry. I got worried about why I wasn't worried. Because a good mom, you know what I'm saying, family? A good mom should worry. But I didn't feel guilty that I didn't worry anymore. I just trusted God. We still taught him the same values. He still had his restrictions. He didn't get off too far in our home. You know, what he did behind the scenes, he did between him and God. But I'm going to tell you something. During that time, I didn't feel guilty. I always knew that my son was going to serve God. Hallelujah. He is an awesome pastor in Milwaukee, has a huge ministry there. His children are serving the Lord. My grandkids have never strayed a day. He was blessed because I thought I would say that about my son. But I didn't worry because why? Because I had got to a place in the process of trusting God. See, I didn't start out trusting God like that. You know, God says if you're faithful in small, you will get to the big, right? So I was faithful as a newbie in 1974. I was faithful as a newbie in what God said. Ooh, if God said it, it must be true. Hallelujah. I'm so happy that I didn't have to equate it to doubt and unbelief, you know? But God is calling us to a place of coming out of our comfort zone. Somebody say amen. That's the ease in Zion stuff. I taught on that on 10 on Tuesday. I went 20 on Tuesday, but hey, who's counting? I taught on the comfort zone and what happens to us when we stay in the comfort zone. Because God don't want his people in the comfort zone. Somebody better say amen. Trust entails interaction with our Heavenly Father. What does that mean? Are you in your word? Are you praying? Are you believing? Are you taking ownership of what's going on in your world? You know, it's never too late, family. Tap your neighbor and say, it's never too late. It's never. But there's steps. We got to read, pray, speak his promises, get remarried to God. Come on, somebody. Get back in that honeymoon state. I love it. Trusting God equals peace. And I'm telling you something. In this world today, forget what we're believing God for and the little foxes and some of the things that we go through and deal. In the world system, we need peace. We need to know those that fall to the right. I don't care if 1,000 fall to the right or to the left. It's not going to affect me. I'm going on. I remember when we were called to Florida and to live by faith. And when I say live by faith, I mean live by faith. No jobs, no money's coming in, and so on and so forth. And I'll tell you something. My dad and mom are well off, and they wanted to supply us. And I said, no, God says that we're here to trust him to live by faith. And I won't go into all the little things because it wasn't like big things that happened all at once, but it was those little things. But my dad said to me, how many know you love your dad? But he looked at me and he says, well, honey, you know, on Tuesdays, they got a cheese place. You can go get cheese and you can go get this. And I'm like, what? I said, David says when I was young and now I'm old and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed up begging for bread. I said, Dad, I love you. I respect you. But I'm going to tell you something. My God is bigger than the cheese line. My God is a supplier of all of my need. I said, I love you, but don't you ever say that to me again. I mean, I was passionate, passionate. And I'm not saying it's wrong to get in a cheese line. You understand? But I'm just telling you, we were not there to get in a cheese line. The just shall live by faith. And I'll tell you, you all might say, oh, yeah, woohoo. But unless you're called to live it, you don't know what you're talking about. You got that check coming in, even if it's from paycheck to paycheck. You know what I'm saying? Not to say you might not be called to it. Not everybody's called to live by faith. But that was our journey. I'm not going to put that on you. But the hardest thing, and I know, honestly, is to relinquish our control. We're control freaks. We are control freaks. We want to control every little thing in our destiny, don't we? And, you know, I think we're born with that. I think that's like rebellion. I want to control things, too. But you know what? I want to be out of control in a good way. How many want to be out of control in a good way? With the power of God, we're so out of control. You know, that fire, like I talked about, just gets us going. And we're going to say the word of God. We're going to do the word of God. We're going to believe and trust the word of God. We're not going to lean to our own understanding. We are not. We need to learn to relinquish our control. And, you know, and remember this. Listen, and we've heard this. It's not my own saying, but see God bigger than your problems. You know, when you begin to see God bigger than your problems, there's nothing's going to hold you back. Psalms 46:10 says, let go of your concerns. Then, now watch this, then you will know that I am God. I rule the nations, I rule the earth. Come on, somebody. Say, you got to let go of your concerns. What's got you bound today with fear? What's controlling your day-to-day grind because it's not happening the timing or the way that you think it should be? But he says, know this, I am the ruler. Hallelujah. Shondarabashita. I am the ruler and I over the nations and I rule the whole earth. Think about that. I love it. But there's warning signs. I'm just going to give you one. Here is a sign that your faith in trusting God is deteriorating, okay? Whenever you face all of your problems, now watch, and trust only your plans to get you out, your faith is deteriorating. That's always a sure time. Your faith, right now, I'm saying it, is going to be under attack. Your faith is under attack when you think the only way out is by what you can do. Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't give us plans. I mean, you better know. I mean, you got a job, you get up, you work. You know what I'm saying? You take care of your bills. Of course, we do that. Amen? But I'm talking about when something has you so bound and you're sitting there trying to figure it out on paper, that's when your faith has went down the drain. And listen, it happens to all of us, so don't feel guilty or condemned. When we look at the word trust, it must go beyond a word of just a simple word trust. Amen? Trust means faith. It means belief. It means hope. I mean, we got to be connected to all of these things this morning. We can't trust God in part. It's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. You know, there's no gray area. It's either you do or you don't. That's the one thing. It's either yay or it's nay. That's the way it goes in the kingdom of God. We got to trust him with the whole heart. Self-reliance is devilish. It's Satan's way. When that's all we think about is how we can get out of the mess that we've created or the mess that's happening with us. In conclusion, watch the promise here. Psalms 37:5 says, watch this, when we trust God, we commit. Now watch this, what that word commit means. Pledge, bind, promise our way to him. He will bring us the desires of our heart. How many today want to pledge a new commitment, or you want to say, you know what, I'm going to believe in you today. I'm making a new earmark. You know, years ago, my husband, I think I've shared this on Facebook video, but I'll share it here today. He got born again in 1974, and we went to church consecutively. We read our Bible. He wore the Bible out in a rocking chair every day. I mean, I couldn't get him out of the chair to read the Bible. Weeds to be pulled, honey. You know, outside we need some stuff to be done. How about the garbage? But he was so insatiated with wanting to hear and learn more about God and his word. But the thing was that, you know, God wanted to bring the desires of his heart to pass. Can you believe that? So he had to stay in the course of where God had him. But during that time, the devil, would whisper in his ear, when you die, you're not going to heaven. It was a strategy by the enemy. When you die, you're not going to go to heaven. And how many know you can't work your way to heaven? The Bible says what? That we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. So I don't care what we do in life, that does not get us to heaven. We might never drink or smoke or say a cuss word. I don't know anybody in the universe that doesn't today, but anyway, just in case. But I'm telling you something. That was the pressure he felt for over a year. And one day God said to him, basically what I just said to you, trust me and listen, this is what I want you to do. See, there's that action word again. This is something I want you to do. So he said in Bishop's spirit, I want you to take a stake And I want you to go to the backyard, and I want you to put a metal stake into the ground. And I want you to write on there that this is the fear I have, and this is the victory that I have, that you are saved according to the word of God, that your confession, make your confession known to God. You know, that scripture in Romans, amen? Make your confession be known to God. And he said, what I want you to do is stand out there, and I want you to take a match, and I want you to burn that once and for all to get your victory. It was action. As simple as that was, you know, Jesus gave so many illustrations, didn't he? About the corn and about the weeds and about, he was always giving little analogies of this, that, and the other. And so anyway, that was the analogy God gave to Bishop. And he went out there by faith, say by faith, and he burned it and he stood back. And he never took that stake out of the yard. And how many knows the devil's going to come back? Just because you did something by faith, family, just because he did something by faith does not mean that the reoccurrence of the enemy is not going to come back 7 times 7. Right? So he said, so when the devil comes back, look out the window or go out there and see that stake. And that was the day your victory took place. It took place 2,000 years ago, but the day that he had a resolute inside of him and went out and could see that stake and say, you know what? There it is. That's why I tell people, when you get your victory, write it in your Bible and date it. When the devil comes back with that sly little voice, say, this is what it says right here. Victory happened in this area. Put your date and your time. And then you have, you know, that's the way we fight with faith. Jesus fought with faith. What did he say when the enemy took him to the pinnacle? And he wanted him to renounce and do it. He says, you know, I don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The only thing that should come out of our mouth during the process, trusting in the Lord with all of our heart and leaning not to our own understanding, the process is speaking the word. Declaring not our feelings, not our personal qualms, but what God's word says. And listen to me, if you're not doing and speaking and saying, this message is for you. Well, you know what? I'm not as old as you are in the Lord. Listen to me. This is something we do when we first get saved. We get in the Bible, and the first thing that you should underline in your Bible, like it's called in Romans, is call those things which be not as though they were. So God has something so powerful. And I'm closing now with an altar call, but I did have, I think, one more scripture, and I shut my Bible. Okay, when we trust God and submit to him, and we receive his promises, he's going to bring the desires of our heart. And remember, God knows what he's doing. Look at your neighbor and say, he knows what he's doing. He's the potter, family, and we are the clay. God bless you. Stand to your feet today, and we get our music together.